Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Come on in, pull up a cozy chair, and listen to wonderment as we bring you the most enlightened guests on web radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me. A psychic, medium, metaphysician, author of 4 books, teacher of esoteric knowledge for 37 years and counting, which is why I am so proud and honored to bring you the authors and practitioners in the know from the Mind, Body, and Spirit Compendium of Life, as well as experts in divination and holistic healing, fabulous tarot readers, wise and profound astrologers, and even the odd rock star, just for your edification and enlightenment. We've been on hiatus, but we're back in the saddle again and raring to go for our 4th season of Cafe Esoterica Radio, broadcasting to you live every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and worldwide, so find your time zone and dive in. Want to be part of the show? Please do. Call in on our new number, which is 858-956-3204. Chat in our chat room, which is located at the end of our landing page on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't find it there, just refresh your page and it will appear. Can't catch us live? Not to worry. You can find us on many formats like TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher, and now Spotify. And you can watch me simultaneously broadcast our show every week live on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, put in the search Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll see me there live talking to you. So grab your latte, your cappuccino, perhaps a herbal tea, and your best friend, and trip the light fantastic with us once more. And as always, your table is reserved. So come on in. Come on in. How are you, everyone? It's Sean Cohen here, your hostess with the mostest, once more saying hello to you on many formats. I am on, if you want to watch me live, I've just tried to get on Facebook. It's not letting me in. That's the second week. So there must be a whole story there about somehow not being able to. Isn't it funny how I was doing them live? And, guess there's a problem there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We're here today. You can watch me live. Go to youtube.com/Cafe Esoterica Radio. And you can say hi in the chat room. The chat room is open at Blog Talk Radio. And we have a fantastic show for you tonight. And, of course, a fantastic guest. We always have fantastic guests. I don't allow unfantastic guests on my show. So tonight's show, or today, or this morning, wherever you are in the world, I have a homeopath and filmmaker, Ananda Moore, who I'm going to bring up after a bit of show news. And I don't know about you, but Big Pharma needs a big kick in the tuchus, if I can be so bold as to say. And I really, really love people who are taking on this sort of, let's call it maniac, because it is a kind of maniac to think that they are the be-all and do-all of medicine. You know, medicine's been around, as a nurse myself, medicine's been around, 100 million years, you know? When the first person took a plant and stuck it in their mouth or rubbed it on a wound, that's medicine, you know? So for anyone at all to say that certain things don't work when they do is sinful, really sinful. And we've had plenty of guests on the show talk about vaccine injuries. We have had plenty of guests on the show talk about, in fact, my last guest, Dr. Maria Cronin, naturopath and homeopath, was last week's guest. So I'd like to thank Dr. Maria for coming on. And again, if you want to check her out, because I always like to thank my guests the following week before I bring up my new guest. Sorry, I'm just going to my notes. That's what you hear me fiddling with. You can check her out at Dr. M. Cronin, which is C-R-O-N-Y-N-N-D, like naturopathic doctor, .webs.com. And she's also on Facebook. And so is Ananda, who I will bring up in a minute. So, you know, the show is all about mind, body, spirit. That's what I love. I'm interested in. This is my forte. I've been involved in metaphysics and mind, body, and spirit. Got to be since 80, 81, 82, I was training in metaphysics. 82 and 83, I was training in nursing and holistic medicine. And by 84, past life regression work. So I've been doing this work myself a long time. And it is the reason that I do the show. I don't get paid for the show. There's no money exchange. The guests don't pay to be on it, and I don't pay them. It is all for the love of healing and helping anyone out there who's listening. The problem that we have today is sometimes medicine is so expensive, ridiculously expensive, if you ask me, that your average person can't even afford it. And the person who has all the money in the world, the 1%, well, they can afford anything. So, you know, what difference if it costs them $50,000 for an operation, you know, and the insurance pays most of it. But I like to go back to basics and nature. I think nature knows exactly how to heal us, and non-toxically and homeopathy. Not only did I learn about it when I was going through nursing school, because thank you, God, some of my teachers were actually chiropractors and practiced homeopathy themselves. And that was unusual even back then, I have to say, but in America, you know, in California where I was training. But I have been able and to raise my daughter completely on homeopathy. She wasn't vaccinated, thank God. I knew better. And she's healthy as a horse. She'll be 23 next week, September 27th. I want to say a big happy birthday to my daughter. I love you. And she has, you know, a very healthy body. Nothing wrong with her. She's never even had a cavity. So she's a living testament to all the things that I worked so hard in my life to actually, you know, bring forward. Now, I myself wasn't that lucky because I was vaccinated as a kid. My mother didn't have a clue. There was no idea what good nutrition was back in the 50s and the 60s. And then, of course, they started all the diet crap in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, I was on diet sweetener and my tea and iced tea and Diet Coke. And, oh, my God, I was constantly on a diet. And, you know, I ruined my health, really. Smoking, you know, as everyone did back then. So the next generation, what are we going to do about the next generation? The baby boomers, we screwed up, you know, not because we didn't bring in natural medicine to the fore, not because we didn't bring in all the things that go with it, organic farming. And, you know, there's a whole slew of my generation that definitely, you know, brought that in. But there's another slew that is so greedy and so mentally mind screwed, they will not listen to reason and fact. And I have today a very special guest because Ananda, not only is she a practicing homeopath, she also has a free practice that she supports and which I'll talk to her about. And she, like many homeopaths, are fed up with the lies spun about homeopathy. Homeopathy cures. It doesn't just treat symptoms, although it does treat symptoms. It also cures. And this is the difference between allopathic medicine, gives you one pill after another, after another, after another. And you get the symptoms from those pills, and then you get, you know, side effects from those pills, and side effects, till you're dead, basically.
There's no cure. So I raised my daughter on homeopathy. I do know about it. I think it's a wonderful profession. Big Pharma is coming down hard on it, and so is the American Medical Association, the British Medical Association. Over here, we have homeopathic hospitals. We do practice it. But even here, there's spinners of tales. So with that introduction, and I'm going to read a little bit from Ananda's bio, and then I will bring this lovely human being up. Ananda Moore, DHMHS, first-time filmmaker, but no stranger to storytelling. And Ananda Moore has worked in theater and studied drama at the University of Alberta. She was on track to become a lawyer when she experienced a seemingly miraculous cure. While on a backpacking adventure in India, Ananda had a remarkable healing experience with homeopathy that resulted in healing from chronic depression. She was so awed by her encounter that she decided to drop all her well-laid plans and pursue a career in homeopathy. In 2005, after graduating from the Ontario College of Homeopathic Medicine, she began her practice and now specializes in autism and immunity. Ananda is the co-owner of Riverdale Homeopathy, a homeopathic dispensary, bookstore, and clinic. She has been featured in The Walrus Magazine and Toronto Life Magazine, podcasts like The High Wire, Wise Traditions, and Collective Evolution. Her debut film, Magic Pills, exposes what publications and media in general don't dare discuss regarding health and financial interests. The documentary examines the often told narrative, which says that science has proven beyond a doubt that homeopathy cannot possibly work. Well, that's BS of the highest accord. She challenges this assertion with fascinating stories of large-scale, real-world use of homeopathy and a deeper analysis of the evidence base. Now is my joy and pleasure to bring up on the microphone, here we go, Ananda Moore. Welcome to the show, Ananda.
Thanks so much, Dawn. Well, that was such a very warm introduction.
We like to please here on Cafe Esoterica Radio. Well, I'm very proud and pleased to have you on the show. I know we had a little the thing about the Blog Talk Radio. It's very confusing, I guess, which is why I send out these letters. And, you know, and it's difficult to get people to understand that to hook up into the Blog Talk Radio system, you have to follow this prompt that they have in their email. Sometimes my guests don't get it, so please don't feel bad about it, but thank you for hanging on the phone. You're calling San Diego. I just want you to know.
I was just there.
You were just there. Oh, right. Okay, perfect. So let me just, I'm live on YouTube, and I printed out some of the things which show your picture, and it says your clinic here, Riverdale Homeopathy. And let's go back. Here's another thing about the movie, Magic Pills, the film. And I'm going to go through all these things, but I want to just take you through basically your life. This is what we do here. We like to interview people. So,
great.
Now, folks, you can write in the chat room. Okay, which is on Blog Talk Radio. Scroll down the bottom of the page. You'll find it there. And if you don't, just refresh your page. Or you can write to me here on YouTube/ Cafe Esoterica Radio. You see a little thing that says live. That's me. You'll see me in my blue cat's eye glasses. Now, let's talk about the first thing that I really ask all my guests is, how did you become, or how did you get to where you are today? Meaning, what incident? You mentioned that you hurt your back. That's from your bio. You hurt your back, and therefore homeopathy opened that door for you. What did it take for you to, for instance, convince your family, or did people say, oh God, you're not doing that, are you? I mean, how much support did you have for walking on that path?
Well, to start with the first question, I was, in terms of how I came across homeopathy, the first place I really learned about homeopathy was in a university course on witchcraft and the occult. And they somehow lumped homeopathy in with a religious studies 101 kind of course on witchcraft and the occult.
Okay, the that's shocking right there. That is so shocking. Go on, that's really funny considering, you know. Go on.
But that's how the skeptic community views homeopathy. And what's interesting is the way it was taught there convinced me quite thoroughly that homeopathy was absurd. And I believed in all kinds of spiritual practices, Chinese medicine, Reiki, all these things I could wrap my head around. But I was told that homeopathy was taking a substance, diluting it so there was nothing in it, and then treating people with water. And it really felt immoral, and I didn't understand who could believe this kind of garbage. And it wasn't until I had my own personal experience with homeopathy, as you were saying, in India. And I was actually in a place called Hampi. I was in this, like a backpacker's kind of accommodation. And I woke up one morning really, really, really sick. And I was traveling with this German girl whose mother was a homeopath. So she had this very beautiful homeopathic kit. She looked at my symptoms. She gave me some pellets. And I kind of ridiculed her in my head, but I thought, sure, I'll take these pellets. It's not going to do anything to me, and I'll prove to her that homeopathy doesn't work. Right. And 15 minutes later, my symptoms were gone. And it really, really blew me out of the water. I didn't understand how that was possible. And I saw that other people in our camp had the same stomach bug and were sick for days. So for me, that acted as a little bit of a control group. And I really started to think about what it could mean, think about what the repercussions were. I really didn't know that much about homeopathy at the time. I went to see a homeopath in India, and it really lifted the depression that had been underlying in my life until that period for most of my life, and which I think was passed on to my family. So that's when I decided to change tracks and study homeopathy. I didn't get too much resistance from my family. I mean, I was going to go to law school, and they were proud parents of a soon-to-be lawyer. But my mom was relatively supportive, and my dad never believed in natural medicine at the time, but he felt that as long as I could make a living with it, it would be okay. That's all that he was concerned about. I can say that his perspectives has now changed, and he's been exposed to more of the issues with the pharmaceutical industry, and starting to have a little more faith in the power of natural medicine. I don't feel like there was a huge level of needing to convince the people around me. I think that's grown over the years. I think the resistance to homeopathy has become more stronger. And as the media has begun to focus on it, and as the, I don't want to call it the scientific community, but rather very specifically the skeptic community, and this community I believe to be funded by the pharmaceutical industry, they have a lot of money behind them to be able to fund these campaigns and influence the media in terms of what stories the general public is hearing about homeopathy, and also our government officials and how policy is being shaped now around the world to stop access to natural medicine and very specifically homeopathy.
Very interesting.
I don't know if I answered.
You answered it. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just your experience, isn't it? You know, and your experience is very valid, mm-hmm. because we want to know, you know, I ask all my guests, over the last 3 years, how did you begin? And the reason I do it is because we were all novices once. If people are interested in studying homeopathy, or what brings you to think you might want to study homeopathy? And I have the same, you know, I have plenty of psychics, mystics, authors. I've had so many interesting guests on. And I think it's important to let people know that, yes, you too can do something like this if you want. If you want, you know, you don't have to, but if you want, if you feel called towards it. So my next question is, how long does it take to become a homeopath? And what does it entail?
Well, that's a very complex question because it really changes from country to country, even from state to state. Some places where homeopathy isn't well regulated or followed, people can call themselves a homeopath with very little training or having done a weekend course or having dabbled in it. But homeopathy is actually, I would say, a very, very difficult modality. You need to understand the core of case taking and how to find a remedy, and we're working with thousands and thousands of remedies. And remedies are our medicines. So in order to be able to come to the correct prescription, it takes a lot of insight and years of experience. Here in Ontario, in Canada, where I live, we have it's been recently regulated as a profession. So we have a very, you know, a set of standards that need to be met by the schools and by practitioners in order to get licensed. I took a three-year full-time program, and continued my studies after that. So it's one of those things where you never finish learning. It's almost, in a way, the study of life in general. You need to understand biology, pathology, physiology. You need to understand our plants, our minerals, different types of animals, because our remedies come from many sources. You need to have a deeper understanding of those sources in order to prescribe accurately. So the learning never ends. And a lot of people say you don't really start to get a hang of practicing until you've been in practice for about 10 years. And I can say every year I look back and go, wow, I knew nothing last year. So, yeah, it's a growing process. In countries like India, it's a full medical program. I think it's 5 years to become a homeopath. So it really, really varies from place to place. And, so you need to be cautious when looking for a homeopath to make sure that they are well-trained.
And that in itself, you know, the thing about regulating natural medicine and anything to do with all, you know, complementary medicine. This has also been a big problem for not just the Western world, but certainly the Eastern world, right? And, you know, we have all kinds of various ways that we can heal. All kinds of ways and all kinds of experiences. You know, Ayurvedic medicine, of course, herbology, you know, all kinds of different acupuncture, but how it's all regulated is the way that big pharma kind of gets in there and says, oh, it's garbage, doesn't work, you know, it's all, you know, people who aren't educated doing it, you know, or whatever. So I'm interested in how many years you studied or what your, because you have initials after your name, and I'm just curious what it took. 5 years in India, how long did it take you?
So to be able to start practicing, it was a three-year full-time course, which is the DHMHS.
Right.
And then after that, I went on to do a three-year homeopathic master clinician's course. I went to India and interned in homeopathic hospitals there, because we don't have access to those kinds of experiences here in Canada. And I'm very blessed that I organize seminars and work with teachers, so I have access to a lot of continuing education, and I'm constantly growing. But yeah, I would say studying for less than 3 years is
ongoing study.
Maybe not
appropriate. Yeah. No, that sounds great. I mean, I think, you know, I just think it's important that we let people know it is, you can, I picked up a Highlands kit. Highlands is a homeopathic maker, pharmacy, if you will. A Highlands kit for children when my daughter was a baby. Had everything in there for teething, earaches, diaper rash, you know, whatever. And I used it. It was brilliant. And I'm not trained as a homeopath, but I learned how to do it.
No, it's...
So... Go on.
Sorry, we have a little bit of a delay. I think it's a very empowering tool for parents, and you don't need a lot of education to be able to start implementing it for those acute situations at home. It's always great to have a little bit of guidance with that. And there's some fantastic books and there's great kits like the Highlands you were mentioning. There's the Washington Homeopathics kit that I really like to use. And I travel all over the world with it. And really, you can do a lot at home with that. But when it comes to chronic illness, when it comes to more severe pathology, it's really great to have someone who knows what they're doing supporting your process.
So that leads me to a couple more questions, and then we're going to take our first musical break. And folks, if you want to call in and speak to Ananda, the call-in number is, if you're outside the United States, you would be calling San Diego, as it goes. So you need to call the code to America, which is 001. Then you dial the area code 858-956-3204. So 858-956-3204 if you want to speak to Ananda. And I do see we have a caller there. Area code 650, I see you there. You will be our first to talk to Ananda when we start taking calls. Not right this minute, but soon enough. You, don't worry, you will get heard. So, Ananda, let's go. I'm going to get to your film and everything else, but I'm just building up to it. So let's go back to Hahnemann for a second. Who was Hahnemann, right? And how did he invent homeopathy? Who was he? Every homeopath has it.
Of course. So Samuel Hahnemann is the founder of homeopathy as we know it. It wasn't necessarily his invention. You can read Hippocrates had already spoken about our basic tenets in homeopathy, which is like cures like. And that idea is present in other traditional medicines and even in conventional medicine. We do often use that principle. But Hahnemann was a medical doctor 200 years ago. And he was getting very frustrated with the tools available to him as a doctor. He felt that they were causing more harm than good, and they were hurting their patients. And we can think back to what doctors were doing 200 years ago with, you know, bleeding people, leeches, using products like mercury to try to treat disease. And he was looking for another more gentle way to heal people. He did a lot of translations and a lot of work, and he translated a text on cinchona bark, which is a Peruvian bark or a tree, which produces quinine, and quinine is used as a treatment for malaria. And the text that he was translating talked about or said that quinine was effective because of its astringent qualities. And Hahnemann thought about this, and it didn't really make sense to him. And there are other products that are astringent and don't cure malaria. So he wanted to know more, and he started taking cinchona bark himself to see what would happen. Lo and behold, he started having malaria symptoms. So he came to the conclusion that light cures light. Something that causes a similar set of symptoms in a healthy person would cure those symptoms in a sick person or someone suffering from those symptoms. At the time, most of the materials available in the Materia Medica, the knowledge was around poisons and how different poisons affected the body. So those became the first medicines. Because he knew how deadly nightshade affected the body, how strychnine, what it does, coffee, different chemicals or different plants and poisons. But in order not to poison his patients, he started diluting the medicines. And over time, he somehow came to the conclusion that as he was diluting, the healing effect grew stronger. And we have absolutely no idea how he came to the notion of succussing. And succussing is hitting a bottle with a homeopathic solution in it against the surface. And we now know that the process of succussion creates extremely high heat, sloughs off nanoparticles, creates electromagnetic signals. And we can now, in a lab, scientifically distinguish a homeopathic remedy that's gone through that serial process of dilution and succussion from just water. But we don't know how he came to the idea of succussion. And without succussion, a homeopathic remedy doesn't work. It's just water. So it was this whole magic of the dilution, the succussion, and understanding that somehow that stimulated the vital force, the body's healing abilities in order to, it's actually the body that does the work. We just stimulate the immune system with a signal, with some information. And that's, you know, who Hahnemann was, where he's German, where he came from. And, you know, it really set the stage for homeopathy as a practice over the last couple hundred years.
Well, it's fascinating, and we're going to come back. We are up to the first half hour in. It goes very quickly, as we know. People listen to Cafe Esoterica Radio, and my guests, they all say, oh my God, it flew by, and it does, because it's so fascinating. It's so interesting. So, Ananda, we'll be back. I just want you to know that due to your gorgeous film, which is called Magic Pills, every song has a theme of magic in it. For today's show, just for you. So the first one coming up, folks, is Magic by Olivia Newton-John. And we'll be back in 4 minutes with my guest, homeopath and filmmaker, Ananda Moore. Stay with us.
I'll be gone.
That was the lovely Olivia Newton-John, who herself is fighting cancer again. We wish her all the best. Try homeopathy. You might just beat it again, Miss Newton-John. Okay, we're back, Cafe Esoterica Radio, and our guest today is homeopath and filmmaker of Magic Pills, Placebo or... I'm reading it off here. Promise or Placebo is the little subtitle there. I just wanted to get that in there. Is Ananda Moore. And Ananda, let me just, can you hear me, Ananda?
I can hear you.
Good. Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. So let's go back to what we were talking about. I asked you all about Hahnemann, and we went to the musical break. Now, somewhere in your wonderful career, you got pissed off, didn't you? You got pissed off, and you needed to say to the world, listen, stop spreading lies about homeopathy, right? Tell us how that began and how you got into making your movie, Magic
No. Okay. It's a very deep frustration with exactly that. It isn't just misinformation, it's outright lies being told about our scientific and evidence base. But it all started originally when I was attending a conference where Dr. Gustavo Bracho, who's featured in the film, and he's a Cuban immunologist. He actually has a patent or two for vaccines. And he worked for a pharmacy in Cuba called the Finley Institute. And their main focus was disease prevention, and their main tool continues to be vaccines.
Mm.
They also are the only producers of the vaccine for humans for a disease called leptospirosis. And it's a disease we're not too familiar with in North America. Most of our vets would know what we're talking about. Most of our animals, they are vaccinated. If you take them to a conventional vet, they get vaccinated for leptospirosis. And it's a disease that's spread through water, just through exposure to contaminated water, which is a huge problem in Cuba when there's hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dr. Bracho at this conference presented how this pharmaceutical company, which did not have enough vaccines for the population at risk, actually stopped an epidemic using homeopathic remedies. In a matter of 2 weeks, they got homeopathic remedies to almost 2.5 million people. And they not only stopped the epidemic in 2 weeks, but continuing forward after that, the incidence of the disease went below historical rates, while in the rest of Cuba, the non-intervened area, the rates of leptospirosis went up. The following year, they had a bunch of hurricanes that hit the entire island. And I think it went up around 20% in general in Cuba. And the area that had the homeopathic intervention, the rates of the disease went down by close to 90%.
Wow. That's
now,
some result.
When these scientists went to publish their findings, they went to the mainstream journals, you know, like the British Journal of Medicine and important journals. They were used to having their work published, and they were completely shocked when everyone refused to publish their work, and they didn't understand why. And the excuses they were getting from the journals were completely unscientific. They talked about it not really being applicable to their audience, or one journal asked Dr. Bracho to get a signature from all 2.5 million people who participated in order to publish this, something that never before had been asked of him, and a barrier that was impossible to accomplish. finally, it was published in a peer-reviewed journal, but it was a homeopathic journal called Homeopathy. And when they published it, he started to receive death threats and hate mail. He actually stopped opening his email after he read 60 of these emails. And he didn't leave Cuba for over 2 years out of fear that something was going to happen to him. He was called a bioterrorist in these emails and with these threats. And I really thought to myself, no one in the world is going to really know that this was done. If had they been able to do this with a vaccine, it would be front page news. It was less than 5 cents a dose to produce. Doesn't require cold chain transportation. You can get it quickly to an area and very quickly get it to a population. Almost no adverse reactions were recorded and nothing serious. They're all, you know, I had a headache. And yet the public would never get to know that this was possible. And that was when I first started to think, how can I get the story out there? Later on, I was interviewed by a local magazine or a Canadian magazine called The Walrus, which is supposed to be, which is, you know, a very respectable publication. They do really in-depth analysis. And I was asked to do an interview on homeoprophylaxis. And what shocked me was that I gave them a lot of studies from not only the interventions in Cuba, but also in Brazil and in India. And I gave them the actual photocopies of the studies as published in peer-reviewed journals. And they had the gall to write that none of the studies I had given them had ever been published.
Oh, my God.
And
shocking. It's, like, it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's
and
evil. It's really evil. Go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The next step is when I called the editor of the journal. He finally responded to me. He left me a message, you know, a few weeks later, saying that there's no way these studies could have been published in peer-reviewed journals because they were not randomized controlled trials. And RCTs are one type of study. Medical journals publish all kinds of different types of studies, like epidemiological studies, retrospective studies, which this would have been an example of that. And this was also a real-world intervention. It wasn't just a study. And yes, they would publish that as well. So the fact that these editors and writers are basically scientifically illiterate and medically illiterate, and yet we're giving them the power to tell people how to think about science, how to think about their health, when they don't have a clue of, like, they have no idea of how the system works and how to read a study to see if it's valid, to see where it gets published. They don't have a clue, and yet we're letting these people be the gatekeepers to knowledge. And that's where the journey began.
Well, you see, you have the right, you have everything you need, and you also have the background, thank God, because you studied theater, right? And drama. And, you know, I really salute you because it's not easy to make a film. I studied film myself. One of my majors in college was film. And it's very, you know, it takes a village to make a film. You know, even a documentary, a smaller film, not a, you know, big movie stars. But let's go back for a second. Just to talk about, because then we'll really get into the film itself. So you got everything you need. You got all the information. You got all the reason to do it. The background and history, of course, for yourself. Now, where did the money come from? How did you get funding to make this? How did you put it together? And it's been shown in major. Mm-hmm. Major film festivals, hasn't it? And has it won awards? I think I read that it did, didn't it?
No, it hasn't won an award yet. That's a lot more political than it seems, the winning of awards at film festivals.
Okay.
But,
I could believe that. Okay,
yeah,
well,
even getting into
your
film festival is very political. But the funding for the film had started, I mean, I was very naive going into this. I didn't realize, as you said, that it takes a village to make a film.
Yeah.
And I slowly learned that through the process. And I was blessed to work with some incredible people. My executive producer, Avi Federgreen, really helped the process, really helped me connect with the right creative minds to make the film a reality. But it all started when a friend of mine, she knew a guy who was just graduating from film school, David, and he connected us. I asked him if he'd like to come to Cuba with me to film, and
wow,
he was totally up for it. So he didn't charge for his work. He volunteered all his time, and we had a couple of fundraisers. We had, you know, some events, and then it was really fun. Lots of people from the community came, and we did some online crowdfunding. And we raised enough money to go to Cuba. Luckily, Cuba is very affordable. And we were able to film on a very tight budget. And we actually ended up visiting Cuba several times. So the first time became more investigative, really understanding what there was to film there. And my future visits were facilitated by a very famous film school in Cuba. So they helped me get the right licensing, the right people to work with. I had an incredible fixer. And a fixer is like a producer who helps you organize everything in order to film in an unknown or a country that you're unfamiliar with. And Cuba is very tricky. Like, you can imagine it's a communist country. There's laws and rules everywhere. There were points where we were getting followed. You know, we had our visas revoked at one point. It was a very challenging,
that's
but
scary.
A lot of fun.
That's
very
scary,
very
though. That is. Can I just interrupt you there to say you're a woman? Let's just go there. You're a woman, a young woman. You're a young woman filmmaker in Cuba, trying to make a film with all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very brave.
Yeah. I will say Cuba is incredibly safe for a woman walking around by herself.
Really?
There is such a strong police presence. Yeah. Cuba's very safe. Now, compared to our experiences in Tanzania, on the other hand, that was a serious adventure where we were, like, they were basically trying to, it was a long story, but we were held by immigration and we had to bring lawyers and we ended up having to basically give a lot of backsheesh to get out of that situation.
My God, really? In Tanzania?
I felt safe in Tanzania.
Crazy world.
We might
have people listening.
Countries like
Ananda, we might have people listening from Cuba and Tanzania. Just so you know, the world is listening because my show people do tune in from all over the world. They show you the stats after every show. And although Canada, US, the USA is my highest audience, and UK next, and Canada, you know, the English speaking. But I get people
right.
In Vietnam, China, Russia, you know, and all over. And I'm very, very, can we just say hello to the world? And please use homeopathy. It's much safer than anything else. Let me go to one thing about your film. And you were discussing AIDS in Africa, right? And, you know, AIDS is a really, really, really... First of all, it used to be a death sentence. That's it. Okay, can you hear me, Ananda?
Yeah, sorry. I've got a school just let out here, and the kids are very loud. I'm going to close my windows. But I missed the very last thing you said.
I was talking about HIV and AIDS, and that you went to in Tanzania, and you brought a lot of hope and help with homeopathy, because first of all, Africa has major issues with getting their own actual resources to the people. They have the most beautiful, rich, diverse landscape. I mean, they mine diamonds in Africa, oil, everything you want. But somehow the majority of the people are very unlooked after, very badly looked after. And this is 2019. We're in the 21st century. It's time that we stop all that nonsense. It's time that we actually care about people of all colors, all races, all religions, and all persuasions. And there is no difference between anyone at all, other than their skin color, their hair color, their eye color. This means nothing. It's not even, shouldn't even be a spot of dust on a windowsill. You know, it's nothing. And yet they take all of these things and put people in lower classes. India does this too with the class system. This is just got to stop. It's just rubbish. It's lies. It's not true. As someone who's worked with souls for many, many decades in this lifetime and many, many centuries in other lifetimes, this nonsense has to stop. So I want you to share what happened when you went to Africa and talked about HIV and AIDS and how homeopathy helped. Please share that with us.
Sure. So this incredible homeopathic couple, power couple, Jeremy Scher and Camilla Scher, created an organization called Homeopathy for Health in Africa. Jeremy was born in South Africa, so he had a strong desire to come back and help and give to communities in Africa. And he started to have, I can't legally say that homeopathy can treat anything, but he started to perceive great success in treating people with HIV and AIDS in Europe and North America. And he thought, what if I could bring this to countries in Africa and really be able to make an impact there? And he started looking for where he could practice. He eventually landed in Tanzania. And they started working in conjunction with hospitals there. They set up different clinics and camps in different communities around the country. They go to Maasai communities where it is the only type of medical care that people have access to. And they started treating people with HIV and AIDS with homeopathic remedies in a very classical homeopathic manner. The hospitals they had partnered with, the staff became so impressed that all of them became patients themselves. The director of the hospital decided to go become a homeopath himself. And what's great is this is a country where there isn't a stigma against natural medicine. So the medical community didn't have a problem. They didn't perceive homeopathy as a threat, but rather as another tool that they could use in their work. And I had heard Jeremy speak before about the kind of results he was having. He would tell me that it was close to 100%. And I had trouble believing that, really. I thought, you know, maybe they're having really good results and he's completely exaggerating. And I started sitting in on these clinics and seeing incredible results. You know, and a lot of these people coming to Homeopathy for Health in Africa are AIDS widows. And the stories of these women is so heartbreaking. What happens is their husbands die young, so people know they've died of AIDS. There's a huge stigma around HIV and AIDS.
and the women become blamed for having given their men AIDS, and it's usually the man who's been sleeping around. It's very common there. And there's a in the Maasai culture, there's a very different understanding of marriage and relationships, and monogamy is not part of the picture. It's not part of their culture really. And so the women are then ostracized from their community. The families come and take everything away from them. So now they're left with their children without any possessions, without money. And now they have to raise these children, and they are now HIV positive or have AIDS that they got from their husband. Uh-huh. And they're so sick that really some of the work available to them is working in the fields. They have no energy. They can't get out of bed. They can't work. And when you see the difference that homeopathy makes in these women's lives, it gives them their lives back, and they can get back out, work, and take care of their families.
So although you can't go on, I was going to ask you this, and let me just pause you for a second. We're going to come up to another break in a minute. But what I wanted to ask is, are you saying that they've actually been cured of AIDS, or are the symptoms all gone of AIDS?
So legally, you can't say that someone's been cured of AIDS, because we know that the virus will hide and you can't really find it. So yeah, you can do blood work and find that there's zero viral load. And they don't have easy access to those kinds of tests in Tanzania. But even when that happens, the virus hides in the bone marrow or in different places, and then you can't say that you've ever cured someone of AIDS. But what we do see is that their CD4 count, and CD4 is a kind of immune cell that is targeted by the AIDS virus. And as CD4 counts go down, people lose their immune system, and that's how AIDS affects the body. What we see is, as the blood work comes along, is that their CD4 rates actually go up, and they go from having AIDS to having HIV, to being HIV positive, because they're now symptom free, and their CD4 counts are in a normal range. So we do see that the blood work changes, and we do see a change in the physical symptoms of a person. And it really is pretty magical and very widely accepted there.
Okay, on that note, you it was like the magic word, magic. Here we go. We're going to take another short break. And my guest tonight, today, this morning, wherever you are in the world, is Magic Pills filmmaker, homeopath, Ananda Moore. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes. And also, 650, we're coming up to you now. We're going to take your calls. You want to get information and help from Ananda, then I would ask you to call now, please. Area code 858-956-3204. If you're outside the United States, you need to call the code, which is 001. And my next choice is You Can Do Magic by America. Remember the group America? Great group. And we'll be back.
Could it be? No magic could happen to me.
Well, that's like what you said, Ananda. You're the one who can put out the fire. Because that's just what you did with the group of people in Tanzania. Okay, let me...
I just filmed them. They did all the work.
They did all the work. Okay. Well, now we're coming up. I know it's crazy. It goes so quickly. And I'm working a couple different things here. I'm working the Facebook feed. I'm letting people know on Facebook that we're live, and please come in and call in and all the stuff you need. I'm hoping that people will. We're down to the last half hour. I am live still on YouTube, so people can see me. Oh, somebody just texted. There we go. And, of course, we're on Blog Talk Radio. Now, why don't we go to this caller? I want to come back after the caller because the caller's been so patient. And talk to you about autism and homeopathy for autistic children, children who've been vaccine injured. This is very close to my, you know, I am so anti-vax. I have everyone on who can say anything about it to educate parents, but this is really important. But let's go to our caller. Is that okay, Ananda? Would you like to do that?
Yeah, I would love to. I am only legally, as a licensed healthcare professional, not allowed to discuss vaccines in any way, shape, or form.
That's disgusting.
At risk of losing my license.
I don't know. Is that Toronto's thing? Because we don't have that in the States. Other people have been on the show talking about it.
Specific to Ontario where I live.
That's diabolical. Disgusting. How dare they?
Yeah.
It's fascism. That's anyone who is a medical practitioner should be able to discuss all elements of their work.
It isn't just alternative medical practitioners that can't talk about it, but even regular doctors, they can only really have positive views on vaccines. They can't talk of any different perspectives they may have at risk of losing their license and being investigated.
You see, folks, this has got to change. This has got to change. This is Big Pharma. This is Monsanto. This is the Illuminati. Whatever the hell it is, I don't even care. It's wrong. It's so wrong. Children are losing their lives all over the world. Bill Gates has a real, you know, he should be public enemy number one. He and Hitler have a lot in common. He's just trying to kill off the third world population. Hello. With vaccines. And, you know, if you're a truther and you look at the truth and you analyze the truth and you see to yourself, it makes so much sense once you wake up. And my show really is about waking people up. That's why it's not called Let's Skip to the Market Today, or it's not called Gee, I Planted Flowers Today. It's called Cafe Esoterica, because the knowledge of esoteric knowledge, holistic medicine, this is vital. In these times, vital. It's not just a passing fancy. It's vital. So we're going to come back to the vaccine issue, but let's take this caller. She or he has been very, very patiently waiting. And here we go. Area code 650, you're on the air. Hello, welcome. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call, Sean. I love your show and I love your guests.
My name
is Mandy. Yes.
I'm Mandy.
My name is Mandy, yeah. So I would love to know what homeopathy can do in terms of helping to regrow hair on the scalp, like for hair loss. Is there hope?
Yeah, there's actually one of the, like, the world's largest homeopathic clinic chain out of India has based their entire success on helping women or people regrow their hair, actually. So yeah, there is hope. And with homeopathy, we look at why that's an issue. What has happened? Is it hormonal? Is it toxicity? Mm-hmm. Is it stress? And what those causes are. And we look to treat the actual root cause of an issue. So there can be a variety of ways to address a concern like that, definitely.
Where is this clinic in India? What's it called and where is it?
I'm trying to remember the name of the clinic. let me do a quick search. Hold on. Dr. And they're a chain. India, Dr. Batra. Sorry, it's Dr. Batra. And I think it's spelled B-H-A-T-R-A. And that was how, that was their bread and butter as they developed.
Hello?
So if you do a search for Dr. Batra homeopathy, you'll find, oh no, it's just B-A-T-R-A. I don't know if they see people internationally or just in India, and I think they're now in Dubai or Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that as well.
So if
you go to their main page, which is Dr. Batra, B-A-T-R-A, and if you go to drbatras.com, D-R-B-A-T-R-A.com, the first thing that comes up is hair loss.
I'll look into it. I'll look definitely.
But Ananda, couldn't she go to, just want to interject, couldn't she, instead of having to go to India or make a phone call to India, couldn't she just go to her local homeopath?
Absolutely. There's some great homeopaths. Where are you based?
New York.
In New York. Denise and there are lots of great homeopaths in New York. I would start just by doing a search online for homeopaths in your region.
Are
you
right
in New York City?
Yes.
There's got to be a homeopathic society of New York. There's got to be. And if you Google that, you will definitely find one. And you will probably find one around the corner from you.
Yeah, there's a couple of schools that are based in New York, and there's definitely, I don't know if there's like a specific association that's just New York homeopaths, but you can also go on the NCH website, the National Center for Homeopathy, and you can see, look for homeopaths in your area that are affiliated there. They have a list. And I guess the other thing is to get recommendations from people you know and trust.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I didn't have an instant remedy to give you.
Okay, so I have to basically do a workup. Like, is that what you would do? Like a blood work or?
Yeah. Not necessarily blood work, but the way homeopathy works is it's very generally very highly individualized. So you could have 10 people with a flu and all of them will need a slightly different homeopathic remedy because they express the symptoms of the flu differently. So that's where there's a lot of specificity to the individual.
So you would have to take a oral history then, like basically, or if it's not really
correct.
I see. Okay.
From understanding the physical symptoms, the mental and the emotional, we bring it all together. Understanding the physical symptoms.
It started for me in college,
can,
I think. Yeah, I mean, I used to have gorgeous hair in high school, and then in college, I guess I saw thinning away. And I noticed my girls also have thinning hair, so I guess there must be some sort of genetic component to it.
It can be
toxicity of some sort. It can be even things like parasites, nutritional deficiencies, hormonal issues. There's a lot of things that can be related. It isn't a quick response.
Yeah.
You should get your thyroid checked. Mandy, get your thyroid checked.
I will. Thank you.
That's what I have.
All right. I won't take up your time.
Okay, thank you for calling, Mandy.
Thank you for your show.
Bye. Thank you, Mandy. Good luck. And let us know how it goes, okay? Oh, my God. We have 15 minutes left, and I need about I need at least 8 of those 15 minutes. So let's, it goes so quickly. I know. I used to be 2 hours and I thought, nah, people don't want to listen 2 hours. I'll go for 90 minutes. And it works better because it's sharp, shooting from the hip and doing it, you know? That was really interesting because a lot of women are suffering from loss of eyebrows, balding. Shocking how many women are having these issues. And it was a good call because I myself lost my eyebrows through Hashimoto's, through thyroid, you know. And I know so many people, I'm 63, so as you get older, you do lose your hair a bit. But it's, I see it with young people. I see it all over. And I think it's very shocking. And some of it is everything you said, but also thyroid. Thyroid governs the hair growth, doesn't it?
Yep, that's definitely one of the hormonal systems.
Yeah, okay.
That affect hair.
Okay, Ananda. So now two questions quickly, okay? So one is, if we want to see magic pills, what do we have to do?
Okay, so right now, magic pills is only available at film festivals and public screenings. And what we've set up is a way that anyone who wants to host a screening can. We've had lots of small living room screenings where, you know, there's 10 people gathering to watch the film. As you know, we also have had massive screenings. We had over 1,000 people coming to our film in Hong Kong and in Macau. I wanted to make it really accessible, but really community-based so that people would watch the film together. And also find community from that. So you can go to the website, magicpillsmovie.com, and click on the link to host a screening. And there you can learn how to do that yourself. We provide lots of support to enable you to do that. And we're hoping, I think the plan right now is for February to release the film online and on DVD. So if people sign on to our newsletter and follow us on Facebook, they'll be able to know when that is actually released. And our newsletter is amazing, too. It's our basis for our grassroots work. So, you know, petitions, letter writing, understanding what's going on politically with health freedom advocacy. I think it's a great platform to build community and get people involved with securing access to natural medicine and to their health choices. So I encourage people to please come and join our community. And you can do that from our website as well, which was magicpillsmovie.com.
So magicpillsmovie.com, okay. It's in the show link, I think. I put that in there. Let me just go to the next question quickly. And I know I said I'd come back to it. We've got to talk about vaccines. I know you can't. Well, what can you say about them? What can you say about how homeopathy helps autistic children? Let's just say that. Can you say anything like that?
I can't. I'm not allowed to make any claims about what homeopathy can do. But I have seen many autistic children come into the practice and really improve on their symptoms. And over time, very young children we've had that are no longer carrying the diagnosis of autism with them. So again, there's homeopathic detoxing, there's classical homeopathy, and we use that together to work with these children.
Isn't that amazing? And that's so valuable and necessary. And you know, what about things like retroviruses, you know, incurable things like herpes or we already mentioned AIDS, you know, these retroviruses and flu viruses and all this stuff. Is this something that I know? I'm asking what I already know, but I want my audience to know that there is help for these things, right?
Yeah. And some of these things are very easy to treat with homeopathy. And with a little research, you can do it yourself, even a little research online. And the great thing is that homeopathy is non-toxic. So you're not really going to hurt yourself. You can have aggravations and what we call proving symptoms if you take too much of the wrong remedy or at the wrong potencies, but it's relatively safe. Things like treating warts at home is very easy, herpes outbreaks, those kinds of things. Simple to do yourself at home.
And quickly, because we're going to have to finish up in a couple minutes. Future of homeopathy, what do you think? And also, how can we stop the dismantling of homeopathic hospitals, both here and abroad, all over the world?
My understanding is we don't have any homeopathic hospitals right now in North America. They've all been dismantled already.
Oh, my God.
And that was one of the main goals of the AMA when they were first formed. Actually, the Homeopathic Association that is present in the U.S. right now is older than the AMA. And it was part of their, stated goal was to destroy homeopathy, really. They had passed laws that would have any member of the AMA basically disbarred or lose their membership for fraternizing with a homeopath. So there's even stories of medical doctor married to a homeopath and the medical doctor losing their license because of that. What we are seeing now is a dismantling of hospitals in the United Kingdom.
Well, that's why I asked.
Homeopathic hospital.
Yeah, we had a big one here that they now changed into complementary hospital. I don't know. But we used to be able to be referred on the NHS for it. Not anymore.
Right.
Really sad.
Right. So there's the Glasgow Hospital. There's quite a few programs that were on the NHS that have been shut down. Access to homeopathy on the NHS has been, depends how you look at it, but basically removed. And this hospital in London, the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital, had to change its name to the Royal London Hospital of Complementary Medicine or something of the like.
Yeah,
even
that's
though, you know,
treated
one of the directors of the hospital. Yeah.
Treated there when it was a homeopathic hospital, and I was shocked to find out that
amazing.
That's what happened. Ananda,
yeah.
We have one quick second now, because I can't go over, because they'll just cut us off. This is how Blog Talk Radio works,
okay.
And I need to get in a couple things. So I want to just say quickly, thank you for being a guest on my show, but even more importantly, thank you for your bravery, for your film, for standing up for homeopathy. You know, you are a guardian angel. These children who have been vaccinated, injured, really need homeopathic. And also parents, if you're not sure, for God's sake, see that film. If you're not sure to vaccinate, because you can use homeopathy as a preventative, you know, even if your child gets measles or mumps or whatever, they can go to the homeopath. They don't have to, and build up their immune system so they never get anything. And that these are some of the great things that homeopathy does, as well as deals with emotional issues and separation anxiety, all kinds of mental health issues, you know, which we didn't even discuss. We don't have time now. But you know, it's a mind-body-spirit thing. It's not just the physical, correct, Ananda?
Absolutely.
I'm so sorry. I got
to scratch the surface.
I want you to I just want to say thank you. I have to stop. I'm afraid I really don't want to, but we're going to run out of time. I need to play us out, do the show news. Next week, folks, we have tarot reader Jennifer Walker Zen, who is all over YouTube. You can check her out. She's fabulous, and she'll be here reading your tarot. So tune in. Thank you, Ananda. God bless you for your work. Thank you so much.
Thanks so
and
much,
I'm gonna
John.
Play.
It was a pleasure. It was a fun interview.
And our last music is Magic by Coldplay. This is also for you. So I'm going to read now what I always read every show. I sum up the show with the thing called In This Metaphysical Moment, and then we'll play out with Coldplay Magic, which is, it is magic. I have to say, homeopathy, I've been a huge advocate, as you hear in my voice, for at least 4 decades. And I tell you folks, if in doubt, go to the homeopath. Here we go. Little white pills containing little, it's called little white pills. And containing like, curing like, little white pills have been made with love. There is snake venom, bee stings, pollen, dog and cat hair, to name a few. But each remedy is bespoke to you. When allopathic medicine finally realizes we are not all the same, that we are unique individuals who also carry not only our genetic code, but 14 generations of trauma and DNA and emotional trails within us, this needs addressed and healed. Enter homeopathy. It has been here for over 200 years and made from all natural substances, which cannot harm you, but is selected very particularly for you to heal you on all levels. In this metaphysical moment, I choose a natural remedy which is specific to my own body, mind, and spirit to heal. I choose medicine which is non-toxic, and I see the results and not listen to the naysayers or big pharma. I choose healing with homeopathy, and I am happier, calmer, and very much healed, and especially where allopathic medicine fails to heal or even address. God provided us with nature for a reason. Choose homeopathy, all natural and made from nature's wonders, and it works. And that's our show for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening, tuning in all over the world. We love you. We want you to come back every week, every Thursday, and we will see you then. Catch us on YouTube if you can't catch us live. We're also on Spotify, Acast, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, and we're going out with Coldplay's Magic. Good night. God bless. Good day, wherever you are. Great show, really great show, great guest. Bravery is just part of being a holistic doctor these days. And to be a homeopath where everyone around you in the allopathic world is trying to destroy your career, your discredit what you use that you know works and is absolutely beautiful, works gorgeously, well, you got to fight. You just got to keep fighting. And I love that Ananda had the really the gumption to go and say, right, I'm going to go and maybe naive, but that is the beauty of the beginner's mind is to go out there and actually make something happen. And she made that movie happen. So go out and see it, get in touch with Ananda and create a screening for your friends and your family. Okay. And on that note, we will love you and leave you and see you next week with my lovely guest, which is Jennifer Walker Zen. She's all over YouTube. Just go find her on YouTube. She's a great tarot reader and she's a beautiful soul. And I haven't had many tarot readers on. It's funny because I am a tarot reader, but you know, I keep trying to find the right ones for the show and she's a great fit for our show. So see you then. See you next week. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.